And now, sports and other stuff. The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Pelted down the right field line and gone. Hosmer.
Just trying to see something up and put a good swing on one, and hopefully we can continue on and keep playing good baseball. Yeah, it felt good, though.
1-0 Cardinals as Tommy Pham changes places with Colton Wong.
Ground ball to third off of Logan Forsyth. Perfect game broken up.
And Josh Harrison wins it, breaking up the no-hitter with a game-winning home run in the 10th.
There's a swing and a drive to left field. Deep back by the wall. It's gone. A second ninth inning homer for Eduardo Nunez.
Mostella cracks one in the air to deep right field. If it's fair, it's going to be long gone. Back toward the wall. Home run.
To be completely honest with you, I have absolutely no regret.
I think this was another step in the process for Deshaun. I think he's gotten better each and every week.
I have absolutely no regrets towards anything I've done, and I definitely left it all out there on the table.
When opportunity presents itself, you want to just try to take full advantage of.
Trevor is our quarterback. I don't foresee myself going back on a decision that we've made.
And welcome in. Hour number two, The Closers here alongside Jay Sparks. I'm George Young. The little opening montage, Royals Radio Network, a win yesterday. Unfortunately, we were not able to bring you a win today. But that's not actually my problem. That's theirs. KMOX, Cardinals win yesterday. KDKA, it was a good night for Rich Hill for the LA Dodgers until it wasn't. It was an excellent night for the Dodgers' Rich Hill until it wasn't. He loses the perfect game in the ninth on an error, loses the no-hitter, the shutout, and the game on one poorly placed fastball to Josh Harrison of the Pirates. And the Pirates, Josh Harrison, is now in Major League Baseball record book, having become the first player to ever break up a no-hitter and win the game in a walk-off home run. Eduardo Nunez, W-E-E-I, W-S-C-R, Cubs win. And then our NFL sound to numb you into hour number two. Brock Osweiler has no regrets, no job. Hugh Jackson, Deshaun Kizer, Darren McFadden, and Vance Joseph, the head coach of the Denver Broncos. So, opening montage, done.
Okay.
We're good.
Yeah.
Right?
We are.
All right. The voice of ESPN Saturday Night College Football, Mr. Tom Hart, joining us. Has that sunk in yet, Tom?
Oh, it better hurry because we're starting next week. So if I don't realize it now, then I'm going to show up at the wrong game, and that would not be good for anybody.
Well, you'd be easier to get a hold of because you'd have a lot of spare time.
It's fair, George. That is fair.
what was going through Tom Hart's mind when you got that phone call from the higher ups at ESPN and said, "Hey, we'd like you to take over the Saturday night and the Saturday night ESPN college games."
Well, you know, SEC Saturday Night has been a special event since it launched. You know, in my mind, with Brent Musburger a few years ago, I thought it was fantastic when the SEC Network launched that we had such an established Hall of Fame voice to bring us on the air, and I thought it just elevated the entire network. So to follow in Brent's footsteps is humbling in many ways. It's thrilling because, well, I didn't grow up an SEC fan. I did grow up a college football fan, and there's no question that this is the epicenter of college football right now. And to, you know, whether you grew up in Columbia, Missouri, or wherever, living in Atlanta, Georgia now, you know, college football fever really never takes a break. It's a year-round sport, and I'm lucky and excited to be surrounded by it and thrilled to be working with a great group as we start this season. It's going to be, I mean, shoot, we start, this will be challenge year. My third grade elementary school teacher, Miss Richardson, the fact that we're starting our SEC Saturday night broadcast on a Thursday night kind of throws the week into a jumble, but that's what we'll do. We'll go Thursday night in Little Rock, Arkansas, and then Saturday at Auburn. So it's here, man.
Yeah,
football season's upon us.
It'll be a great trivia question. Where was Tom Hart's first SEC Saturday night ball game, and what day of the week was it? So
right. In Little Rock and on Thursday. Neither one of those things add up, but that's what it will be.
That's right. You need a better travel agent. That's all I can say. for you, growing up, going in Columbia, going to Rockbridge High School, what was the goal of Tom Hart? Was this ever in the eyesight?
Yeah, once I figured out how hard math was, and I needed a real job. Yeah, I was on KFRU on Sunday mornings, mm-hmm. hosting a show that we did at Rockbridge High School with Rod Kelly back in the day, and so I think every step, no matter what career you're in, is every step you make is you get people, as you get positive reinforcement, which is so very important at every step in our lives. Not just kids as a parent or as a coach, but every step of our lives to get positive reinforcement. Every time somebody said, "Hey, you're pretty good at that," or "I think that works," or "you have a good voice for that," or "You're a good fit over here," encouraged me to chase it more. And that started the very first time I was on the air. You know, I bought my first season tickets to Missouri football when I was 12 years old. They had a Truman the Tiger program. I got a T-shirt and season tickets to go sit on the hill and everything. And I never thought then that anyone could make a living doing what I'm doing. I mean, I wasn't exactly thinking about mortgages and car payments and telephone bills and things like that at the time. I just knew that was a lot of fun, and that if I could find a way to be around that more and more often, then I was going to be closer to finding happiness, I guess. That's our big Zen answer of the day.
Tom, the studio shows, the drive time shows are all well and good, and that's a big part of sports media. But stepping into the booth and putting on the headset is just a whole different ballgame. From the first time you did it, did you know that was, you know, that was where it really was for you, that the adrenaline of putting on the headset and getting ready to call a live sporting event?
Yeah, I could never be in a cubicle, and in that regard, and I could never be in a studio. I mean, I've done it before, and I enjoy it, and I enjoy being around sports and covering it in any way. But there's something different about being in the arena, whether that's courtside for basketball, up in the press box for football, in the booth for baseball. I did the Astros and Nationals last night, and just being in the building, being in Minute Maid Park when the Astros hit three home runs and Alex Bregman hits a three-run bomb, and being down on the field of batting practice before the game and talking with guys like Brian McCann and Dusty Baker and A.J. Hinch, and just being surrounded by people who get paid to do that for a living, that's a thrill in and of itself. But I just think the bigger picture is there is no script. Every game is completely unscripted. Look at Rich Hill and what happened to him last night, and the joy that he had and the ecstasy that he was so close to experiencing, and then losing a perfect game and then losing a no-hitter in the way that he did. That's what keeps my energy going, to show up prepared for a game where you have no idea what's going to happen. You can't predict it. That's why all those casinos in Vegas are so big and gleaming, and they have so much money, because you can't, I don't care what 800 number or 900 number you have, nobody knows who's going to win. They may think they do, but you don't know what's going to happen in that game. And that's the thrill for me to experience, to live it, and to share it. And that's what keeps me going.
The lights will probably burn a little bit brighter after Saturday night this week as well out there in Vegas.
Yeah, you might be right.
Yeah, Tom Hart with us. He is the play-by-play face and voice now of ESPN's Saturday Night SEC contest. Who did you grow up, idolizing or wanting to emulate from the broadcast booth?
Well, I don't know if emulate is the right word. As a youngster, of course, I grew up listening to the Cardinals from one side of the state and the Royals on the other. And I always tell people that I thought the biggest difference between the two is the Cardinals, especially on KMOX, had this aura about them. Like, they were the big time celebrities. It was almost like listening to something from Hollywood or New York City. And the way that Buck and Shannon called the game, you were in on their party, but it was an elite party. And so to be surrounded by greatness in that respect was really thrilling. And then listening to Fred White and Danny Matthews and the guys who were doing the Royals games, I always thought that it was a more intimate setting, that it almost felt like those guys were talking directly to me. Now, maybe it's because at that time, you know, and still Columbia to this day, I know even with the Royals' recent success, primarily Cardinals country. I don't know if that percentage has shrunk in recent years or not, but that might have been part of it, that there were fewer Royals fans around, but it felt more intimate. I thought, you know, if you could find a way to blend these two, I think it'd be perfect, because you want the audience to relate to you and you want them to want to be around, but you also want them to understand that what they're witnessing and what you're able to watch is a big deal. So, you know, for from an MLB perspective, those were the guys. You know, I was sitting on my living room floor listening to Kevin Harlan call Missouri Hoops and all the guys that called Missouri Sports. There was a before Mike Kelly came along, you know, there were a lot of different names that came through, and they all seemed to go on and have great success, including Bob Costas back at the very beginning of when I first started listening. So there was a lot of different people. Then as I got older, you know, I don't emulate, but Vin Scully is obviously a superstar, and Brad Nessler and Sean McDonough and Mike Tirico. I think that as I've gotten to meet these people and gotten to know some of them, I've come to understand what makes them all successful. And it's not just being talented, but also the work that they put in.
Tom, SEC Saturday Nights is quite the pinnacle of a career, and by no means are you stopping there, I'm sure. The sky's the limit. But if you had a chance, is there a sport you've never called that, A, you'd want to call, and, B, that you'd be intimidated to call?
Oh, that's a great question. I was asked to do the NCAA playoffs for hockey a few years ago, and I've never said no, but I told my boss very strongly that I thought there were probably people out there that would know hockey better than I do, since I've only been to two games in my entire life. And I don't feel I have such a respect for sports, especially like hockey and lacrosse, that that you can't fake your way through it. I don't think you can fake your way through anything when it comes to fans, because they can snip it from a mile away. If there was anything, I would go do some old Australian rules football. You know, give me a trip down under. Let's go down there. I think any Olympic sport would be a ton of fun. Oddly enough, I'd probably be drawn more towards the Winter Olympics in the bobsled or the luge. I mean, that was always just so foreign to me when I watch it, you know, every 4 years in the wintertime. I think that would be a blast. Plus, they don't have to wear ties. They get to wear winter coats. I think that's really cool, too. I hate wearing a tie on television.
Who picks the wardrobe?
My wife these days.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So when you're always sartorially well turned out, it's we can thank the wife on that one.
Absolutely. Kate deserves all the credit for that. There's no doubt about it. And when I'm standing next to a guy like going forward, standing next to Jordan Rogers, who was, you know, who won the Bachelorette, that just ups the pressure. You know, you've got to make sure you come strong when you're standing next to a guy like that.
Okay. But he won the Bachelorette. You're already married. I mean, it's, you know, what's next? I mean, you there you are, right? You're done.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I already told him I'm not going to give him a rose, and I don't expect him to give me one.
There's probably safety in that one. All right. Very good.
So. I hope so.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I am excited, though. You know, of our crew, I'll be in the booth with Jordan Rogers.
Yeah.
We've got Colt Kubelik down on the field who played on the offensive line at Auburn. I don't ever compare myself to those two guys because, you know, they both started and played in the SEC in the Premier Conference. But I spent 1 year playing D3 football at Quincy up in Illinois. And I, as far as I know, I have to ask our PR leader, Carrie Potts, who controls everything. I have to ask her for the details. But I think we're the only only football crew on ESPN where we all three played college football. And I think what that helps me bring to the table is I don't know as much as they do about the game, and I certainly don't know what it's like to play in front of 70, 80, 90, 100,000 people. But I have this foundation and this natural curiosity, which I think allows us to really talk football. And I think in many sports these days, when you flip on the channel, no matter what sports channel it is, you get a lot of fluff and you get a lot of laughs and giggles, and that's great. We all want to have a good time. But we want to talk football first and foremost, and I think we've got a great crew to do that.
Who'd you learn the most from as you were going up the broadcast ladder?
Oh, geez. You know, this is going to sound odd, but I learned early on in my career. I was doing minor league baseball, and I was doing 140 games by myself, in the booth by myself, and the only thing I had at the end of the night, besides $20 of meal money, is I had a recording of the game. And I learned early on that if I was going to get better, and nobody's listening to these games. I mean, nobody. We had a couple of shut-ins, and we had one, you know, one homeless guy who somehow had a transistor radio. I think those are the only three people that listen. So I wasn't going to get any feedback. I had to learn how to critique myself, and I knew what I liked. I didn't know necessarily how to do it early on, but I would, on a bus ride back or sitting in a nasty hotel room that night on the road in the minor leagues, I would go back and listen to my games, and I would have to teach myself what worked, what didn't work, and then go back and fix it the next day. And that's what was great about what you do in baseball. You get to do it every single day, mm-hmm. so you can fix those mistakes. But so many other, more people than I can count that were just so helpful and always picked up the phone and give me feedback and talk me through things and just kind of help me down this roadmap. Because there's no one way to go about it in this business. You just kind of follow your passion.
Man, from Rockbridge High School and KFRU with Hot Rod Kelly all the way to ESPN Saturday Night, Tom Hart. If you had one piece of advice to give out to that budding broadcaster who thinks, hey, shoot, I can do that. All he does is open his mouth and just start talking. What's the piece of advice?
Well, work hard and work hard at everything. And don't say no. When people call up and they ask if you want to go do a Tiddlywinks contest or Knights of Columbus free throw contest or call a kickball game, say yes. Even if the paycheck isn't what you expect it to be, get out there and work. And you can only, this is one of those jobs. I know you guys can relate. I don't care how many classes you take or how many professors talk to you about it. You can only learn by doing. And on top of that, you can only learn by screwing up. So my number one lesson would be, don't be afraid to screw up, because if you're messing up, that means you're doing it. And that's the only way you can get better at it.
Well, and sage advice, paycheck, huh?
If you're lucky.
That's a pretty cool deal. I like that concept.
I'm going to look into that.
Because, yeah. I mean, a cheeseburger, while a cheeseburger in paradise is awesome, a cheeseburger on a high school football Friday night, that'll carry you through the game. But, man, afterward. Anyway, Tom, thank you much for the time. I really do appreciate it. Congratulations on getting that Saturday night gig. We'll be looking for you not only in that shiny TV box, but if you get down here to Mizzou to call a game, we'll be looking for you then as well. So thank you, sir.
George, that'd be fantastic. Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
Hey, you are very, very welcome. Tom Hart, ESPN SEC Saturday Night Football. He is the face and the voice of it now. We will be right back as the face and the voice of the closers. Lucky you.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Welcome back to the Closers here as we work on the logistics on the other side of the board. A lot of head shaking going on, so we've got some headphones not working. Stunner.
We can still get there from here.
We can.
It's okay.
Yeah, we're good. We're good. We're good about that. All right. We roll on here through hour number two, and man, there's another gathering. This happens every single year. It is, Well, I got Brooke Koster in the studio, and also Gary, you're back again.
Yes,
the official name of this, because I always get that goofed up, but what's the official name of your Saturday program?
The event.
The event.
Yes. It's called Kid City.
I bet you didn't know you had a Saturday show, did you?
You know what? I used to do a Saturday radio
really?
Show. Really? Yes.
How
Saturday
long ago
sports
was that?
Show. It was in mid-Missouri. It
okay.
was in Mexico.
Okay.
And I left Mexico, moved back home to St. Louis back in 1997, so between 92 and 97.
Yeah, okay. So yeah. High school football, and because that had to be big up there, right?
Yeah, yeah. It was.
Man.
Very.
Okay. All right.
That was the days of, if you remember, Cookie Belcher?
Yeah.
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 So I did the play.
Jared Thompson, Tyrone Liu. Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, Liu was before
right.
my
before
time.
Right.
Yeah.
So. Yep. I knew Jared at Columbia College when he transferred
Great
back
guy.
To Columbia
he,
College. Yep.
He works here in town.
Yeah.
So.
Name dropper.
Yeah. Look at me go.
Okay, so back to the old timey red. Brooke, did you ever have a radio career?
Nope.
Okay.
Can't
you do
say
now.
I have.
You do
oh,
now.
Geez.
You got one. You got one now. Congratulations and welcome aboard.
Why, thank you.
Yeah. MU Pediatrics is what the t-shirt has. What's your involvement with Kid City?
So I am actually running the women's and children's booth this year, which is known as TJ's Olympics.
Oh.
Yeah, we're going to have a good old time now.
And why TJ's Olympics?
Because my goal is to get kids moving.
Okay.
The childhood obesity rate is through the roof. So I'm trying to find a way to make moving fun besides just playing sports, because some people don't have the money for that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing just an obstacle course. Some things are used around the house and some things are being brought in from therapy services. So
okay.
we're going to have hoops and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Okay.
A rope ladder.
And?
Yeah. Okay.
Just a rope ladder? Because it looked like you were
More. I have arches. Okay. I don't know. All kinds of fun stuff. Little tire things.
Now, what's the target age group?
Oh, it's anybody. Okay. I have it where we can make them anywhere over two, and then we are going to time it and have a little competition for the older kids with a leaderboard.
Okay. Now, Gary, where is Kid City going to be located this year?
So the event this year is going to be, like every year, it's at the Holiday Inn Expo Center.
And so you have the full Expo Center to work with.
Absolutely.
And for you, this continues to seem to just get bigger every year.
It does.
And
it's fun. It's exciting. The kids love it. And that's the thing about this event is that it never gets stale.
Okay.
Because there's always new families in town. So as some get older and, you know, it might not be as exciting for a 12 or 13-year-old, obviously they're going to be new 2- and 3-year-olds. They're going to walk in and they're going to be absolutely amazed. Okay. So we say birth to 12. Our core, I mean, it's 2 to 10 basically is what you really see having a great time at the event. So bounce houses. We have this 25-foot inflatable rock wall in our Central Dairy Get Out and Play Zone. It is mammoth. They call it a tiki island. It looks like one of those types of things. Yeah. We'll have soccer, basketball, we've got a t-ball, quarterback toss. Something new this year, Mockins.com is our sponsor of this. We call it the Kid City Drive. So there's mini golf, a driving range, and that's a little 10x10 inflatable, but it's still pretty cool, and a little chipping game. And we're
You're not putting a 10-year-old behind the wheel?
No, absolutely not. All right, good. That would be fun. Can you imagine
But it would also keep Brooke very busy doing something else besides what she was there for to do.
That's what I was saying. I'd be there working then. Yeah.
But in that area, we're going to be getting people registered to win an Eric Berry autographed Chiefs jersey.
Oh, okay. So yeah, get him while he's still there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because, you know, he's back to practice now after bruising a heel and coming back from that one. We attributed it to he stepped on a Lego 4 weeks ago. But
Legos are dangerous.
They certainly are.
They are.
All right. For you, Brooke, how did you get involved in this? How did Gary get you involved?
We've had a boost since I started working with the University of Missouri. So it's been about 3 years. And since then, they always ask for volunteers. And I enjoy helping kids. So that's kind of my thing. And then I got really involved probably 2 years ago. And then this year I was like, let me take the bull by its horns and let's run this thing.
Okay.
So
yeah, ME Children's Hospital is one of our three presenting sponsors, along with Once Upon a Child and Ashley Home Store. And ME Children's Hospital has been with us for 5 years now. And I mean, it's been a great partnership for us. Really a win-win.
And for the folks, it's at the Holiday Inn Expo Center on Saturday. What are the hours?
It's 9 to 3.
Okay. And admission?
Admission is $4 for adults. Kids are absolutely free.
Okay.
And there's a lot of free tickets running around somewhere that people can find. If you go to our Facebook page and like it, we give you a 50% discount. So instead of four,
it's $2 ticket.
Huh?
There you go. There you go. Save that $2.
We know how to deal. We know how to deal at Kid City.
Ah, yeah. Okay, it's almost like a BOGO at Payless.
Right?
Not quite, but it's almost like a BOGO at Payless. For you, I mean, you've been at this for quite a while, and as we talked about, this just continues to get bigger and bigger. Mm-hmm. The draw for Brooke was the childhood obesity. What's the draw for you to keep coming back and doing this every year?
When we first built Kid City, it was under the guise of, okay, you're a new parent, or you're always going to have questions about different stages of a kid's life. So where do you go to get those answers? Well, you go to your pediatrician.
The owner's manual, right?
Your pediatrician or your mother, right? So we thought if we can put together an event where we would bring all of these resources from mom and dad, and healthcare, fitness, safety, education, childcare, all those resources under one roof, and then build something where the kids can have an absolute blast so that, you know, if the kids want to leave early, then mom and dad are leaving early. Mm-hmm. So if you want to keep the kids, they have a great time. They're there for hours. Mom and dad can really talk to a lot of people. We'd have a win-win for everybody. And I think that's what we've done.
Yeah. We call it Kid City and we focus with Brooke on what the kids are going to be doing, exercise. Are we kind of missing the boat just a little bit on what's available for the parents? Because it's not just pay your $4, drop the kids off at the curb, and then, go get your steps in over at the Holiday Inn.
No, exactly. No, I think you're exactly right. I mean, the kids obviously drive the decision to go, I think, to be honest with you. I mean, and the opportunity to meet the Minions who are coming this year and Mickey Mouse is coming back for the second time, and Belle's going to be there from Beauty and the Beast. But I mean, that's all great. But mom and dad will have the opportunity to talk to health experts from University of Missouri Children's Hospital and educational experts and all of those things that you talked about. All those resources, safety resources. We have an area called Safety Town, where you've got an opportunity to get a bike helmet for free for your kid.
Okay.
First 100 people through the door get the bike helmet. And so there's bike safety going on. There's car seat safety, so parents can learn about that. As well as there is they're going to build a makeshift pool to talk about water safety within this area. So that's just one of the opportunities that parents can learn.
What input do you get on this, Brooke, as far as any ideas from your experience as a pediatric nurse? What can you bring to this to get the kids involved and get the parents involved?
This year we're focusing more on the kids. What can the kids do when it's raining outside? Because safety is now became more of an issue with kids going outside playing, we've been told. So now we're focusing on what can they do inside? Like, what's easy? Like, when I was growing up, we played, like, jump from pillow to pillow to avoid the lava, you know? So something similar for the kids. And then as far as the parents go, we do have some pediatricians volunteering with us on Saturday. So they will get to meet them. We'll have information about different pediatricians if they don't have a doctor, that there will be access to a list of pediatricians in the area that they can easily call, and we can get them set up with us at any time.
All right. Again, the event is Kids City. It's over at the Holiday Inn Expo Center this Saturday.
Correct.
Gary and Brooke, when you're over there, look them both up and thank them for putting this all together. Get tickets for $4 for adults.
Yes.
Or you can go to the Facebook page, which is?
It's kidscity.com/KidCityMidMissouri.
Okay, Kids City Mid Missouri.
Yes.
And you can get your 50% off the tickets, and then you can get two for $4 or one for $2.
There you go.
Would you rather have a minion or a house elf?
What kind of question is that?
Well, if you're going to have minions there, you got to, you know.
A house elf.
What is a house elf? I've never even heard
Dobby from Harry Potter.
Dobby from Harry Potter.
Oh,
see? Oh, man.
I'm not big on Harry
you
Potter.
You were the wrong kid.
I
just went right
on.
I'm sorry. That went over both of our
Yeah, I missed that one.
She's a pediatric nurse.
I know, but man, I'm getting used to Doc McStuffins, Paw Patrol. We're working on that right now.
Minions are pretty loyal. I would probably accidentally give my house elf a piece of clothing and be like just out a house elf. So it's fine. I get it.
Okay, so minions. They'll be there.
Yeah. Two of them. Bob and Stuart.
Okay. You can't take them home with you, but
no,
they'll at least
you cannot
be there.
Take them
home. Can get your picture with them, so that's
absolutely
a win.
Oh, okay. That is a win. Yeah, there you go. All right, so Kid City, Saturday, 9 to 3, out at the Holiday Inn Expo Center. $4 tickets for adults, or you can go to the Facebook page, get them for half off, and it's a great time for the kids. Brooke will be in charge of the kids. Gary, and you'll be shepherding the adults, making sure they get all the information, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All righty. Hey, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having
us. Saturday, because I know this gets bigger and bigger every year. So congratulations on that part as well.
That.
So thank you much. We'll be right back. We've got more of the Closers, hour number two, rolling right along right after this.
The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Welcome back.
Hi.
How you doing?
Great.
Good. Minion or a house elf? I mean, come on. How?
Well, I mean. Yeah, pretty much.
It's the tough questions.
No, it is.
It's the tough questions.
We ask the tough ones.
We kind of do. Every now and again, we get a great question, which you got one today.
True, I did.
Means I need two good questions to make up the deficit.
Oh, all right.
So I'll have to work on that.
How much time we got left in the show?
Not much. Not a whole lot. It got a little guest heavy today.
It did. It's good, though.
Yeah.
Man, some good guests, too. Yeah.
Well, we think so. I don't have no idea what the listeners think, but hey, 442-8255 is the phone number in, or you can direct message both of us if you're on Twitter. Mine is at GYCOMO, at GYCOMO, and yours?
At SparksJ, SparksJay.
And we both have the direct. You don't actually have to follow us. You could just shoot us a direct message. We have that capability for us. Hour number one, Paula Levin. From ESPN, the book Violated. It's the story of Baylor University, co-written or co-authored with Mark Schlabaugh and Dave Matter, also from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Talk a little bit about the Board of Curators meeting and the approval for the South End Zone, which, you know, Gabe yesterday said, yeah, it's going to be approved. Dave Matter today said, yeah, it's going to be approved. But, you know, you wonder about the perception. And Dave brought this up, Gabe kind of alluded to it, although he kind of thought the question was a little ridiculous. But anyway, I thought it was pretty good. Otherwise, I wouldn't have asked it. Because there is that perception.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't understand that the university's athletic department is the athletic department, and the academic end of things is the academic end of things. And while the athletic department writes a check to the academic side for scholarships, that's it.
That's it.
Academics does not fund athletics, and athletics doesn't write the check to fund the academic side of things except for reimbursing academics for scholarship dollars. But the perception is, with budget issues going on as they are, how the heck can you possibly justify putting up a nearly $100 million facility? And that can be a tough one to overcome.
Yeah, I mean, it can, but at the same time, again, it's a loan. And I don't mean like it's by itself. It's a monetary loan that's coming in. If the University of Missouri system, and it's not just Mizzou, that's what when the curators get together, it's like the entire system. Yeah. The system sees that Jim Sterk is going to raise the money and looks at it like a business. So they say, okay, we will give you some of this money, and then you're going to pay us back. So they're not out any money. I mean, yes, there is an outlay of money to start with, but the athletic department is obviously going to pay them back.
Mm-hmm.
So if the self-funding athletic department thinks it wants to spend $96 million on a south end zone facility, then it can. The oversight is people will stop donating if they think it's a bad idea. And while Gabe has said the one thing Mizzou's been really good at is making sure they let people know when a donation's coming in.
Right.
Well, they've gotten really good at that because a lot of donations have come in.
And you let people, and listen, this is from the marketing standpoint, the marketing and the business end of things. The reason you let people know that donations are coming in, even if it's a $1 million, which even if it's only a $1 million donation, because you know, I'll write that check today, don't cash it. But you let people know because the ones who you are trying to target that are in that donation window look at that and go, huh, yeah, maybe this isn't a bad idea after all. Let me write that check.
Yeah.
Or let me get my consortium together to write that check, that $15 million donation check, that $10 million donation check, which you've had a lot of. You get the ones, and this may be where the academic end of things is kind of missing the boat just a little bit because of the cutbacks in the marketing end of things, is you're not hearing about the donations to the academic end. And if there are, that may be something that academics needs to follow athletics lead on, is, hey, get that information out there. Because when you get that information out there, people are excited about it. Think about how excited people were from the athletic end of things, when you see that donation come in, right? Hey, the group out of Kansas City donated $18 million.
Well, in this particular climate, my guess is that the academic side, the institution of the University of Missouri, is a little gun shy to just be purporting how much money is being thrown around there with a lot of people in a lot of governmental type people in Jefferson City saying, no, thank you. We just got this much money for this,
right?
To which three or four politicians in the state of Missouri go, well, that's not good. Shut it down.
We'll cut their funding.
We'll cut more funding.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't think they're in any hurry to do that on that side of things, but it does raise that question. People think about the fiscal responsibility, like I said, but the athletic department, the only fiscal responsibility is if they do something wrong, then people are going to stop donating.
Or stop attending the events.
Sure.
And by doing something wrong there, it's not reach a particular win plateau. And you've seen that with basketball. You've seen that with football. You've seen it going in the other direction. Admittedly, not the same percentage. But softball, wrestling, volleyball, the activities over at the Hearn Center, you see higher and higher crowds. And women's basketball, the job that Robin Pinchton and group are doing, you're seeing the huge increase in attendance. And by that increase, you're also seeing the increase in demand, which has necessitated some changes in how things are done.
Mm-hmm.
But the academic side of things, yeah, I'd be curious as to find out what's the donation level. And to your point, are they kind of keeping that under a hat so that somebody down in Jefferson City doesn't get all huffity-puffity about it and say, fine, then we're going to cut your budget by an equal amount and keep you revenue neutral.
Yep. Something to pay attention to.
Yep. And that is expected, the approval again for the South End Zone expansion by the Board of Curators is expected right around the end of this week. And the end of this week is rapidly approaching. Tomorrow, oof, Friday, this show will hit the road on Friday. We will be at Kirkwood High School. Jeff City Jays and the defending 6A champion, Kirkwood, will be the opponent. And the game of the week, David Lyle, Dan Devine Jr., who stepped in last week. And we, again, thank you and thank them for doing that, because otherwise you get 2 hours of dead air. We'll let you decide on that one.
I was going to say, careful what you ask for.
I know, I just realized that. But David and Dan will be at Webster Groves as the Hickman Cupies take on the Statesmen of Webster Groves. That one is set for a 7 o'clock kick on KFRU. And the Jays radio network will have Jeff City Jays and Kirkwood.
Pioneers.
The Pioneers on pregame tomorrow night at 6:40. Game time is at 7 o'clock. David and Dan here on KFRU, Hickman and Webster Groves. We'll be back. We'll wrap up the hour, and we'll do that right after this.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Some days this show feels like the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Just survive in advance.
Yeah, it feels like that Thursday, Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
head on a swivel.
My goodness. Hey, thanks to our guest today. Really do appreciate it. Paula Levin from ESPN. The book is called Violated. She co-authored it with Mark Schlabaugh. The full title, Violated, Exposing Rape at Baylor University Amid College Football's Sexual Assault Crisis. It is available now. You can check it out at Amazon.com or, as they say, wherever books are sold, which around here would be Barnes & Noble over at the Columbia Mall. Also, Dave Matter, St. Louis Post-Dispatch, joining us. And also, Tom Hart, Rockbridge Bruin grad, Mizzou, and now the face and the voice of ESPN's SEC Network's Saturday Night Football, the extravaganza that is Saturday night, as he is filling in the shoes now of one Brent Musburger. And also, Kid City, Saturday over at the Holiday Inn Expo Center from 9 to 3. Adult tickets are $4. If you go on the Kids City Facebook page, you can get them for $2. But just a ton of information, as Brooke mentioned, all the stuff for the kids health-wise. Different fun things to do that don't require you to think about, got to go buy this and I got to go buy that and all of that. So, because I know how that can weigh.
Yep.
But fun things to do right around the house, even if in bad weather. And Gary talking about it's not just for the kids, but there's a ton of information there for the adults. And again, it's the Holiday Inn Expo Center on Saturday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Royals fall earlier today, 3-2. So a quick little two-game win streak is done. Now they have a one-game slide.
Yeah, it's still not a streak, though.
It's not a streak, apparently.
Nope.
Whatever. But the Twins will play tonight, Indians will play tonight, and then you also get the White Sox playing because they're taking on the Twins. Cardinals will play tonight. Colton Wong will be hitting leadoff again as Matt Carpenter is being held out because he is not feeling well. He has a viral infection, and they have said, you stay away. Mm-hmm. We don't want this.
Nope.
Trevor Rosenthal done for the year and done probably for next year as well, maybe done for as a Cardinal, but Tommy John surgery scheduled for Adam Wainwright. Tomorrow we'll be live at Kirkwood High School, and we'll also visit with Larry Borowski, talk St. Louis Cardinals baseball. Jay Sparks, thank you much for the time.
Thank you, sir.
I appreciate it. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will talk to you all tomorrow. Please be careful out there.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.